United States Steel Hour presents the Theater Guild on the Air, starring Van Heflin, Gene Lockhart, Kathleen Lockhart, and June Lockhart in State Fair. Helping to build a better America through better steels and products of steel is the job of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Look for our trademark, USS, on any steel product. It's your guide to quality steel. And now, as the lights go down at the Belasco Theater in New York, here, speaking for the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, is Roger Pryor with a word about our play and players.
Tonight, for our New Year's Eve broadcast, the stars of the Theater Guild on the Air are Van Heflin and Gene Lockhart, Kathleen Lockhart, and June Lockhart. Our play, based on one of the most successful American novels, is State Fair, that robust, heartwarming story by Phil Stong. You'll hear Van Heflin as newspaperman Pat Gilbert, while the Lockhart family, Gene, his wife Kathleen, and their daughter June, play father, mother, and daughter in the family of our story, Abel, Melissa, and Margie Frake. Our featured players are Dick Van Patten as Wayne Frake, and Rosemary Rice as Wayne's adventure at the fair, Emily. We raise the curtain now on State Fair, adapted for radio by Arthur Arendt and directed by Homer Ficken.
Hello, my name's Abel Frake, F-R-A-K-E. I'm a farmer, got 40 good acres just outside Brunswick, Iowa. I also have a wife, her name's Melissa, and two children. There's Wayne, nice kid, just 17, and Margie, year so older. Now, she's a sweet girl, Margie, with a good head on her shoulders. But my real interest in life at this particular moment is a hog. His name is Blue Boy. And tomorrow I'm going to enter him for the championship blue ribbon at the state fair. And, brother, I am nervous. Right now, things are pretty hectic over at our place. There's Mother in the kitchen, packing the dishes and enough food for a regiment. Wayne's over in the garage, fussing over the half-ton truck we'll be traveling to the fair in, while Margie's giving the chickens a last-minute feeding.
Here, chick, 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 chick. Here, chick, 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 chick. Oh, thank goodness that finishes it. No, there's no more, you greedy thing. See, the pail's empty.
Hi, Marge. Feeding the chickens? Well, well.
Oh, Wayne, Mama wants you in the house right away. That is, if you're through tinkering with the car.
Listen, I want you to know I just saved Pa, at the very least, $3.60 on a rewiring job.
Really? I do wish Father'd buy a new car to take us to the fair in.
We gotta go in the truck, so there's room in the back for Blue Boy. I suppose you're like a new convertible like Harry wears. Say, is he going to the fair?
No. Is Eleanor Wilson?
No. Say, what's eating you anyhow?
Oh, nothing. I just feel low.
Me too. What do you suppose it is, Marge?
Oh, I don't know. Say, Wayne.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, don't you feel like you're sick and tired of everything? Around here, I mean? You know, everything that's got to be planned in advance and...
Pa says on a farm you have to plan everything. Why, even before Blue Boy was born, he planned to make a champion out of him. And tomorrow...
Oh, yes, but it's the things that aren't planned that are the most fun. You know, the accidental things. Wayne, sometimes don't you feel like you want to forget the farm and go somewhere and just let loose?
You mean do anything you feel like doing?
Something like that.
Anything at all?
Yes.
I didn't think girls felt like that.
They do.
Are you going to marry Harry Ware, Marge?
I suppose so. Oh, he's awful nice, really. Just about the only boy I've ever gone with.
Yeah, I remember he used to carry your books home from school. What was he trying to prove by that, how strong he was?
Oh, Wayne, shut up.
I was only kidding, Marge. Harry's a nice guy and a good farmer. Listen, I'm glad you're going to marry him.
It's just inevitable, I guess. Of course, there's nothing definite yet. Not for a long while.
Say, maybe we'll have some fun at the fair. What do you think?
Oh, it'll be just like last year. A lot of silly amusements I've outgrown.
Me too. You know what I'm going out for this year, Marge? Adventure.
What kind of adventure?
Well, that's not exactly the sort of thing a man tells his own sister about.
Oh, you mean you'd like to meet a girl?
Girls, they bore me. I'm interested in women.
You are? Oh, goodness.
Marge, the thing a man's got to have before he settles down for good is adventure. And that's what I'm going looking for at the fair. Well, guess I better go in and help Mom. What time do we leave tonight?
Pa said to have the truck in front of the house right after supper. But 7:30, he said, we'll be on our way. When do you suppose we'll be there, Pa?
Oh, another hour or so. Sleepy, Mom?
Not yet.
Looks like Marge is doing all right there on your shoulder.
Oh, poor child. She fell asleep the minute we got started. Pa, I'm a little worried about Margie.
You are? Why?
Shh. She's been acting sort of strange this last week or two.
So did you when you was 18. Say, how's Wayne? Did he sleep back there?
Yes. Looks like a comfortable bed he rigged up for himself.
Well, it should be. He's got that mattress on top of the crate with Blue Boy in it.
Doesn't seem to bother him any.
Bother him? Why, it's a privilege. He's sleeping plumb on top of the best hog in the state of Iowa, in the entire solar system. Say, am I going too fast?
I don't think so, dear.
I know you don't think so. The question is, does Blue Boy...
Oh, that hog again.
Well, Ma, he's got to be in the pink of condition. If he wakes up suddenly, that upsets him. Something terrible.
What time is it, Pa?
Oh, you wake, Margie? Why, it's about 1 a.m. Have a good sleep?
How can I sleep squashed between you and Mama?
That sure must be tough. This is the first time you've opened your eyes in 2 hours.
Let's have a little music on the radio.
It's Blue Boy. Turn off that radio. You woke him up. Wayne.
Yes, Pa?
Is he all right, Blue Boy? Is he mad?
No, I just run into sleep. He's smiling now.
Oh. You hear that, Ma? He's riding fine. Now, folks, the first thing we got to do when we get there is to find a place for Blue Boy to sleep.
Abel Frank, you make that animal seem like he's more important to you than your own family.
At the present moment, he is. Now, Melissa, Wayne will help you put up the tent and get things shipshape.
What about Margie?
Margie will come with me while I get Blue Boy registered and find a pen for him. That, Melissa, is the way it'll be done. Well, what say you step on her, huh? Now, Margie, you wait right here outside the administration building with Blue Boy while I find that registry man.
Yes, Papa. Do you think he'll be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, he better be. Think I want Blue Boy to catch cold in the night air?
I suppose it's all right for me to catch cold in the night air.
Now, Margie, don't upset me. I've got big things on my mind. Big things. Now, you just wait here and watch that animal. And don't talk to any strangers.
How could I? Everybody's asleep. Besides, I do not talk to strangers.
All right, all right. I'll be back in a few minutes. Bye-bye, Blue Boy.
Oh, be quiet, you. If it weren't for you, I'd be in bed and fast asleep by now, instead of freezing to death in this cold.
In that case, young lady, perhaps I can be of service.
What? I beg your pardon.
Well, would you like to borrow my coat?
No, certainly not. Where did you come from?
Well, you see that bench over there on the side entrance? Well, I was stretched out on that.
You were?
Yeah, somewhat earlier this evening, His Honor, the mayor, officially opened the fair with a burst of magnificent oratory, and I was so entranced that I fell asleep. Say, that's an interesting-looking hog you've got there. Hello there, fella. Did you raise him yourself? Yeah. Where are you from? Cedar Rapids?
No.
No, I didn't think so. No, you're not the big city type. Atumway?
No.
Oh, smaller yet, huh? Elkhorn?
No.
Well, I don't give up. Well, it's a nice night, isn't it? Is there anything that you'd like to ask me?
Yes. Will you go away, please?
And leave you out here all alone at the mercy of any big city wolf to come and make a pass at? Certainly not.
If you don't leave me alone, I'll call a policeman.
Oh, no. You see, that wouldn't help. They're all my friends. My name is Pat Gilbert. What's yours?
I have no intention whatsoever of telling you.
All right. Well, how about some coffee? Now, there's a diner just down the way.
No.
Well, why not? It might warm you up.
I am not cold.
Well, now, that is a matter of opinion.
And anyhow, I've never in all my life gone anywhere with anybody to whom I was never introduced.
I see. Well, of course, we could take the hog along as a chaperone.
Will you go away, please?
All right, all right. But first, young lady, I want to tell you something. Did you ever have a dream, an awful dream, where everything was dark and spaceless and it sort of, you know, swallowed you up and you kept fighting against it, and the more you fought, the worse it got. And then suddenly the phone or the doorbell rang and you opened your eyes, and there was the sunlight flooding into the room. Well, that's what happened to me on that bench just now. Only when I came out of my dream, it wasn't any telephone, only the sound of you talking and no sunlight, only your face. And that's why I came over to talk to you, to tell you how lovely you are standing there in the moonlight. Well, so long. I'll see you again sometime.
Well, I must say.
Well, good morning, son. How'd you sleep your first night at the fair?
Okay, Pa. Did you see Blue Boy yet this morning?
Uh-huh. He slept fine. Was down to his pen right after breakfast.
Pa, did you get my pickles entered all right?
Yep. Spiced pickles category. Mrs. Abel Freight, Brunswick, Iowa. Say, where's Margie? Not up yet?
Not yet. She was awful restless during the night, just tossed and turned. Couldn't seem to get to sleep. I wonder why.
Well, I'm going out for a while. See you folks later.
Where are you off to, son?
Oh, I'll just take a walk around the Midway. There's a fellow at one of the booths I sort of remember from last year. Yeah. I'd like very much to see him again.
Step right up, see the show of shows, the marvel of marvels, giving you an intimate, personal, bird's eye view into the abnormal world of freak cats.
Just thanks. Drive a nail in the oak plank. Find out if you're a man or an insect.
Pink lemonade, cotton candy, balloons. Hey, mister, you want a balloon?
What for?
How do I know? What am I supposed to give you? Reasons?
Step up, ladies and gentlemen. You can all see how easy it is. Just throw the hoop over the object you select. The prize you hoop is the prize you get.
Hello.
Well, 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 if it ain't my old pal. Bring down any bears with a pointed revolver you won last year?
No, I didn't.
Well, what's it going to be this year? A bottle of perfume? A genuine pearl necklace? I know another revolver. You want to be a two-gun man.
It cost me $8 to win that fake pistol last year, mister.
$8? Well, now I'll tell you what I'm going to do, just to show you there's no hard feelings. Here's a couple of rings on the house. Watch your hoop, you win.
Thanks, mister. I guess I'll try for that bottle of perfume over there.
Okay, son, throw it.
All right. Here goes.
Well, well, what do you know? Did you see that, folks? He wins a bottle of genuine French perfume.
Thanks, mister. I'll bet it's a fake, just like the pistol.
Shut up. Watch him again, folks. See if he wins again. Now, remember, fella, you're enjoying the courtesy of the management.
I think I'll go for that fake necklace over there in the corner. Now.
Well, well, you see how easy it is, folks. Anybody can do it. Step right up, and here's your oriental pearl necklace, son. Go away now. Well, folks, who's going to be next?
I'll be next, mister. I know all this stuff I've won is fake, but I...
Son, come on with me in the back of the booth a minute. I want to talk to you.
Okay. Where are you, mister?
Over here. Now, listen, kid. What do you mean by telling everybody my prizes are fakes?
Well, they are.
Now, listen, fella. Did you ever hear of intangibles? As long as nobody wins them prizes, they're just as good as they look to be. Now, you come along and show everybody how they ain't authentic and all their intangible value is gone. Is that fair? Is that live and let live?
Well, you see, mister...
You know what I could do, son? I could go to the state fair board and have you put in jail for libel. Criminal libel. That's 20 years maximum or 3 years minimum.
You could.
I certainly could. All I got to do is call a cop. You'd be put in jail so fast it'll make you head.
Woody, well, let me tell you.
Now, sister, who were you and how did you get into this?
I was standing over there at your booth and watched everything. If anyone should go to jail, it's you.
Ah, why don't you go home and take a rumble lesson?
Oh, so that's the way you want it, huh? Say, fella, run over to the administration building and ask for the police inspector, will you? He's my father.
Sure,
now,
miss.
Just a minute, sister. Just a minute. I don't know who you are, where you come from,
yes,
but...
sir. All I've got to say to you is if you want to stay open today, you'll sell him all the hoops he wants.
But I can't do that, sister. He'd ruin me. Say, fella, how you come to be so good with the hoops?
Well, you see, mister, when I came up here last year, it cost me $8 to win that fake pearl-handled revolver.
So? So?
So, I went home and fixed up a stand in the barn and got one of my mother's embroidery hoops and practiced. I practiced every evening after school and on Saturdays and Sundays.
You mean you practiced all year to get even?
Sure. Now, mister, I didn't show you anything. You know what I can do? I can take three hoops, throw them at once, and they'll land on three separate prizes.
You can't. Now look, son, here. Here's something I want you to have, $8. The $8 you lost last year, I know when I'm licked. Now chase yourself, and don't come near that stand again.
Well, we fixed his wagon, didn't we?
Gee, miss, I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, that's all right. Forget it.
It's lucky your father's a police inspector.
Say, you didn't believe that, did you? My father's just a stock show manager over at the pavilion.
Well, for the love of...
cotton candy, pink lemonade. Hey, mister, buy a balloon. Oh, it's you again. Goodbye.
Say, what's your name?
Wayne. What's yours?
Emily.
Could I offer you a glass of pink lemonade, Emily?
Sure, why not? Say, why are you staring at me that way? I got too much makeup on?
Why, no. I guess it's because, Emily, you know, I've lived on a farm all my life, and I never met anybody like you before.
Oh, I look interesting, huh?
Yes, very.
Well, that's because my skirt's too short and the sweater's tight. Every once in a while, I dress this way when I'm feeling sort of adventurous.
What? What did you say?
You know, adventurous. When I get fed up with things and I want to step out for a little fun. You ever think of doing that, Wayne?
Yeah, I've thought about it.
You have? Well, maybe we could think about it together sometime.
Really? Do you really mean that, Emily?
Sure. How about tonight, about 9 o'clock?
Make it 9:30. I promise to take my sister for a walk along the Midway. I can make it by 9:30, Emily.
Okay, 9:30 at the administration building. So long, Wayne.
So long, Emily.
Stop bolting your supper that way. What are you so excited about?
Me? Excited? Why should I be excited?
Well, I'm sure I don't know, dear. Only you seem kind of, well, tensed up.
Why should I be tensed up?
What'd you do this afternoon, Wayne?
Oh, just wandered around, looked things over.
Well, I must say you seem excited about something.
Look, Mother, I'm not excited. Nothing happened to me. I am not excited about anything. Come on, Marge. Let's go for that walk on the Midway.
Wayne, stop looking at your watch every 2 minutes. What's the matter? You got a date or something?
Why, no, Margie. I haven't got any date. Who would I have a date with?
And why do you keep looking at your watch every 2 minutes?
Because I like to know what time it is. That's why.
What time is it?
9:25. Gosh, 9:25 already.
What do you mean, already?
Oh, nothing. Look, sis, you can find your way back to the tent from here, can't you?
Oh, sure I can, but...
Well, so long, then. Go straight home and don't talk to any strangers.
Oh, my goodness. I bet he's got a date. Well, Margie, what now?
Step right up. Step right up to the roller coaster, folks. The roughest, the toughest. Hey, young lady, how about it?
Well,
just one seat left before we take off. There it is, next to this handsome-looking gent with the wavy brown hair.
Hello there, you remember me?
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, Pat Gilbert, come on, step in.
No, I don't
What's
think...
What's the matter, girlie?
Come on, I dare you. Don't tell me you're afraid.
Me afraid? Certainly not.
Well, okay, get in. Now let her go, Tim.
Sit down. Hey, sit down.
Let me go.
Now just stay down in your seat there and you won't. It'll be all right now. Oh. When you stood up there, you were as white as a sheet. I thought you were going to jump. Oh, here we are. Into the ride.
Thank goodness.
Well, you feel like trying it again?
Not for anything. No, not for anything in the world.
Well, what do you say, folks? Are going to renew your lease?
Well, sure, we like it.
Oh, but
okay,
I...
4 bits for the two of you.
Oh, no, not for me. I'm the press, Des Moines Register.
But please,
oh, and this young lady, she's my guest.
Oh, two more deadheads. Okay, Tim, let them ride.
You You have another hot dog, Margie?
Oh, no, thanks, Mr. Gilbert.
Oh, no, come on now, Pat.
Are you really a newspaper man, Pat?
Yeah, sure. Well, now that you told me your name, where are you from, Margie?
Brunswick. That's 50 miles the other side of Keokuk.
Brunswick? I was there once. I covered a plane crash.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was about 2 years ago. Were you really there then,
yeah,
in Brunswick?
Sure.
I'm glad, Pat.
You are? Why?
Well, at least you've been to my hometown, and I don't feel that you're an absolute stranger who...
Who tried to pick you up twice?
Yes. Well, it's getting late. I've got to go home now.
Well, I'll take you there.
Oh, no, no. Thank you, just the same.
Why not?
Well, I don't know you.
What do you mean you don't know me?
I mean, well, we still haven't been properly introduced, and my folks would ask, I mean, well, are you really a reporter?
Well, now, look, if you want to see my card, well, here it is. Here's also my driver's license, newspaper gill card, hospitalization, my high school diploma. That's at home, but I think I could bring it for you tomorrow.
Oh, never mind. I believe you.
Good. Now, be quiet just a minute. I'll tell you something. Margie, everything I told you last night about, you know, about opening my eyes and seeing you standing there in the moonlight and, you know, what it did to me. Well, that's all true. Every word of it. Do you believe that, Margie?
Well, I don't know. It sounds crazy.
Yeah, sure it does. Coming from me, it's fantastic. Well, I suppose you've got a boyfriend back home, haven't you?
Well, in a way.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And I've got a girl in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh.
So you see, we're both in the same boat, kid. Look, I've got an idea.
What?
Well, let you and I just have a good time. We'll see the fair together, and we'll have some fun, and then we'll go our separate ways and forget about it. What do you say?
Well, if it's understood that it's just for fun...
Oh, yeah, just for laugh, kid. That way nobody's going to get hurt. And then you go on back to Brunswick, and one of these days I'll hop a train for Joplin. Right, Margie?
Well, all right, Pat.
Sure. Just for fun, baby. Just for laughs.
You are listening to State Fair, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here, speaking for United States Steel, George Hicks.
Good evening. On this New Year's Eve, I'd like to wish each of you the best possible year in 1951. I'd like to thank all of you again for your continued interest in our Theater Guild radio productions. And right now, speaking from Saratoga Springs, New York, I should like to present Benjamin F. Fairless, President, United States Steel Corporation, with a special New Year's message. Mr. Fairless.
Once again, we stand on the threshold of a new year, not knowing what it may hold or how happy it may be. For us at U.S. Steel, it is a very special new year because it will mark the celebration of our golden anniversary. For half a century, we have helped to build America, to make it strong, and to keep it free. I am proud of that and deeply grateful to every man and woman who has worked to write the record of those 50 years. But those years lie behind us, and tonight, as we face the grave responsibilities of an uncertain future, I merely want to bring to you a promise and a wish. The promise is that whatever the future may hold, the growth and security of our country will never be endangered by any shortage of steel. They never have been, and the entire steel industry is determined that they never shall be. The wish is that we in America, working together in the days ahead, may somehow find the spiritual help, the political wisdom, and the productive strength to make 1951 a happy and a peaceful new year for us all. And this is more than a wish. It is a prayer.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by United States Steel, the industrial family that serves the nation.
We pause now for station identification.
WNBC and WNBC-FM, New York.
Curtain rises on the second act of State Fair, starring Van Heflin as Pat, Gene Lockhart as Abel Frake, Kathleen Lockhart as Mrs. Frake, and June Lockhart as Margie. Featured are Dick Van Patten as Wayne and Rosemary Rice as Emily.
Well, the following morning, we were all at breakfast just outside the tent. You know, the usual juice, hot cakes and sausage, bit of bacon on the side, bit of peaches and cream maybe, and hot rolls and coffee. I was feeling a mite nervous about Blue Boy, so I didn't have a chop. The kids didn't seem to be much interested in food either.
Marge, what'd you do after I left you last night?
Oh, I walked around a bit. I went for a ride on the roller coaster.
Oh, didn't happen to meet anybody interesting, did you?
No, of course not. Why should I? Or did you meet anybody interesting?
Why, no. Who should I? Pa, what time is it?
Stop changing the subject.
I was doing nothing of the kind. But I must say, I couldn't help notice how you changed the subject when I asked if you met anybody.
How did I change the subject?
By asking me if I met anybody.
Oh, now, children, no bickering. Pa, when will they be judging Blue Boy? Have you heard?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon.
Abel, do you really think he'll win? You're not just pretending.
I know why you want Blue Boy to win, Ma. You think if he wins, I'll be fit to live with next year. But I can promise you right now, I won't. If Blue Boy wins the big prize, I'm going to start on horses next. I ain't ever going to be satisfied with what I get. I'm going into other things I can't get. You can count on that.
All right, Pa. Does anybody know whether they're to judge the pickles today?
Yes, at 2 this afternoon, Ma.
What? Oh, my goodness, Margie, will you be there with me, dear? I'm so nervous.
Oh, yes, I'll meet you there, Mama, at the exhibition hall at 2 o'clock. Excuse me, mister, is this the place where they're judging the pickles?
Right in there, young lady.
Thank you.
Hello, Margie.
Oh, Pat, where'd you come from?
Boys around. Hey, you know, you're even easier on the eye than I thought.
What do you mean?
Well, I've only seen you at night, and I never did get a really good look at you.
Oh, Pat, please, don't.
Don't what?
Oh, don't keep saying things like that. Last night, on the way home, you said the same thing.
Well, what's the matter? Don't you like compliments?
Well, of course I like them, but, well, I don't think you mean them. I mean, well, you do in a sort of way, but I don't want you to say them. I mean, well, remember what you said last night, that it was going to be just for fun?
Yeah, all right, baby. Only, you know, I'm still young and I, you know, normally reactive to stimulants. And...
Oh, but that's not fair. You said that we agreed that there was to be nothing like that in our friendship.
Okay. From now on, I won't even look at you.
Oh.
And when it occurs to me that your eyes are like Hedy Lamarr's, only a lot better, I won't even mention it.
Oh.
And then when I see you walking toward me with your hair blowing in the wind and everything goes pit-a-pat inside of me someplace, well, I'll just think of a good book I read or something.
Oh.
You know, it seems like a silly idea to me, but if that's the way you want it...
Well, maybe you're right, Pat. I mean, well, after all, the fair is only going to last 2 days more.
Sure.
And, well, I wouldn't want to be the cause of your feeling unhappy about anything.
Well, now you're talking. Well, now, what do we do? You want to try the funhouse or the whip or...
Oh, Pat, I can't. Mama's pickles are going to be judged any minute now.
Your mother's what?
Pickles!
Well, okay, I'm game. Come on, let's go.
Oh, I'd rather not, Pat. You see, I'd have an awful time explaining to Mama.
Oh, yeah. We haven't been introduced. Well, when do you think this pickle thing's going to be over?
Oh, by 4 at the latest, and we could meet somewhere then.
Okay, well, so long for now, and I'll tell you what, I'll meet you at the roller coaster at 4 o'clock.
All right, Pat, I'll be there.
First prize for beaten biscuits. Mrs. Sylvia Lewis, Rural Route 2, Fort Cheer, Iowa. Second prize, Mrs. Mary Bennett, Adair, Iowa. Third prize, Mrs. Celia Baumgarten, Albia, Iowa.
Mama, they're coming to the pickles now.
Martin.
Pickles and preserves. Sweet pickles, first prize, Mrs. A.R. Frick, Brunswick, Iowa.
Mama, first prize.
Sour pickles. First prize, Mrs. A.R. Frick, Brunswick, Iowa.
Mama, did you hear?
Oh, gee, please, it's the next one that's the big one.
Pickles, unclassified. The spiced pickles of Mrs. A.R. Frick, Brunswick, Iowa, win the blue ribbon and the plaque for the best pickle preserved in this category.
Oh, Mama, the blue ribbon. You win.
Mama, what's the matter? What is it?
I feel faint, dear.
Oh, now, Mama, quick, pull yourself together. Everybody's looking at you. You're famous.
Excuse me, lady. Are you Mrs. A.R. Frake of Brunswick, Iowa?
Why, yes, yes, I am. What is it?
A news photographer, Des Moines Register. Now, here, grab this jar of pickles and hold it up, like this.
But these are not my pickles.
Oh, what difference does that make? A pickle's a pickle. Now, you, young lady, just sit down on that empty crate alongside her, and let's have a little cheesecake.
Cheesecake? I didn't bake any cheesecake.
Oh, Mama, he means just like this with my skirt.
Margie Frake, you pull your skirt down, do you hear?
Oh, but Mama...
Okay, got it. Thanks very much, folks. Buy the paper tomorrow and see your pictures.
Now, Pat, I want you to tell me the truth. Did you make that judge give Mama the prize for her pickles?
Who, me?
Answer me.
Why, well, no.
Oh, Pat, I knew the minute the photographer came around. What did you say to those judges?
Nothing. I just happened to mention that Mrs. A.R. Frake of Brunswick, Iowa was my aunt.
You didn't.
Pat. Well, no. Anyway, I tasted those pickles. They were wonderful. Oh, what now, Margie?
Well, I told Mama that I wasn't coming in for supper.
You did?
Could we eat together somewhere?
Well, could we? And then after that, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going all the rides, especially the roller coaster. And then we're going over to the amphitheater to see the pageant. And by that time, it'll be midnight. And we'll climb up on the ridge overlooking the water and listen to the music coming from way down below. How's that?
Oh, lovely. Oh, will they have fireworks, too?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir, naturally. And then we'll just stay up there for a while, you and I alone. And we'll watch the lights die one by one, way off there in Des Moines. Would you like that, Margie?
Oh, I'd like that very much, Pat.
Look at that orchestra way down there. Look how small they look.
That music they're playing. What is it, Pat?
Liebestraum.
Oh, it's lovely.
Written by a guy named Franz Liszt. Fine piano player, a mediocre composer, but a great lover. Anything else you want to know?
Not just now. Tell me, do you know everything, Pat?
Who, me? I don't even know enough to come in out of the rain. Well, speaking of the weather, are you cold, Margie?
Not with your arm around me this way.
You happy?
Oh, yes. This has all been so wonderful. Every minute of it.
Hey, look at that. The moon. Now, when did that come from? Where did it come from?
Behind the clouds. Been there a long time.
Well, what do you know? I miss it. I guess I must be slipping.
Pat.
Hmm.
What kind of a person are you, really?
Well, I don't know. Just like everybody else, I guess. Why?
You've been around a good deal, haven't you?
Well, sort of, yeah, sure. Well, I mean, if you mean geographically, I worked in Chicago, New York. I did a stretch on the Paris Herald for a while.
You mean Paris, France?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. What were you doing in Paris? I mean, how did you happen to be there?
Oh, well, you see, I just got out of college, and I thought I wanted to be an architect, so I went to Rome.
Rome?
Yeah, to learn something about buildings.
Well, did you learn anything?
Yeah. But I didn't have what it takes to be an architect. And then I moved on up to Paris. Literature beckoned. The kid from Montparnasse.
From where?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's just a place on the left bank of the most beautiful river in the world. I'm going back there someday. I'm going back to write a book. Oh, well, come on. That's enough autobiography. Tell me about you now.
Me? All right. Pat, the furthest I've ever been away from home is right here at this fair.
Well, that's all right, baby. I'll tell you about every place, and then you'll have been there, too, huh?
It doesn't work that way, Pat. We're different, you and I.
Margie, there's no reason in the world why you and I can't be, why we can't be friends. I'm very good friends.
What do you mean, Pat?
Well, I'll show you. Now,
Now, hold still while I...
Pat, no, no, you mustn't kiss me.
Don't be silly. Why shouldn't I?
Because I don't want you to.
Well, of course you do. You want to as much as I do. Now, why don't you admit it to yourself?
Because it's not the truth. Well, what sort of a person do you think I am, anyhow?
Sit down, Margie.
No, I won't.
Sit down, I said. There. Now, I'll tell you what sort of a person I think you are.
I'm not interested.
I think you're a very sweet kid. Just coming of age. Just beginning to feel an interest in what it's all about. And for the first time in your life, you feel the blood stirring up in your veins. And you know what, Margie? You're afraid.
What do you mean? How dare you talk to me like
now,
that?
Be quiet. I also think that you're lovely and you're decent. And you're a lot of fun to be with. Furthermore...
I'm not interested.
Now, quiet. Just be quiet now. Furthermore... Well, this amazes me as much as it does you. I think I want to marry you.
What?
Will you marry me, Margie?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes or no?
I don't know. It's all so quick.
I know that, but the important thing is, do you love me? Do you?
Yes.
Well, that helps. Well, what do you say?
I don't know.
All right, well, look, now... Friday's the last day of the fair. Just take until then to think about it. Now, that's enough talking. Look at me.
Yes, Pat?
Kiss me.
Yes, Pat. Oh, darling. I do love you.
That you, Wayne?
No, Mama, it's me.
What time is it?
Oh, I don't know, Mama. It's late, I guess.
Shh, you'll wake your Pa. Where were you?
Oh, on the roller coaster again.
Oh, I've never seen anybody so crazy about a roller coaster.
Well, I waited to see the fireworks. Oh, they were lovely.
I can't understand why Wayne isn't home yet. Did he tell you where he was going?
No, Mama, he didn't.
You know what, Margie? I suspect he had a date with some girl or something. He was so excited at supper.
Oh, now, don't worry about Wayne, Mama. He can take care of himself.
Oh, I wish I was sure of that. You know, things can happen to a person at a state fair when they're all keyed up and excited and everything. Oh, you sort of get out of yourself and do crazy things.
Do you, Mama?
Oh, not you, Margie. You're a girl with a lot of good sense who thinks out everything first. Papa always says Margie's got a good head on her shoulders. No, we don't worry about you, Margie, dear.
Thank you, Mama.
But I am worried about Wayne. Where on earth can he be at this time?
Are you sure it's all right, Emily, my being here in your apartment like this?
Of course it is, or I wouldn't have invited you after the show. Gee... It was sad, wasn't it?
Yeah. What about your father, Emily?
Oh, Dad won't be home till dawn. He went to a lodge meeting or something.
What's that?
What?
What you're putting in those glasses.
Bourbon. Daddy only drinks bourbon.
Are you sure it's all right?
Sure. In big towns, everybody has a drink after the show. It's adventurous.
Oh.
Hey, remember what you told me yesterday about feeling like a great adventurer sometimes? Well, that's the way I feel right now, Wayne. Let's have an adventure.
Well, all right, Emily. Only I got to tell you the truth. I've never tasted a drop of liquor in my life. Have you?
Oh, once and twice. I'll put a lot of soda in yours.
All right. Only I want you to know it's your own responsibility. I haven't the faintest idea what this is going to do to me.
Well, let's find out, huh? He's looking at you.
He is looking at you, Emily. And a very pleasant occupation it is, too.
Say, maybe you don't need this drink.
Maybe I do. Well, here goes.
Well?
It feels kind of nice and warm in your stomach, don't it?
Wayne, did you drink that whole thing in one swallow?
Sure.
the way you're supposed to do it. I saw it in the movies.
Not when it's a highball, silly.
Oh. You got a highball. Say, this stuff is powerful. How long does it stay on your breath?
Oh, just chew some cloves when you get up in the morning. Daddy always does it.
Oh. Gosh, it's getting kind of warm, isn't it? You mind if I take off my coat?
Not at all. Hey, you feel all right, don't you?
Oh, sure, only... Gosh, it's hot. Come on over here on the sofa with me, Emily.
Must I?
Well, you don't have to.
Oh, I don't mind. There. Now we're all comfortable and nice.
Emily.
Yes, Wayne?
Emily. Do you mind if I put my arm around you?
Well, how can I tell until you try it?
Would you mind if I put my head on your shoulder?
Well, all right, only isn't it the girl who's supposed to put her head on the fella's shoulder?
Yeah, but I'm the one that's dizzy. Are you dizzy too, Emily?
No, I'm all right.
Well, I'm glad. I'm very glad, Emily, on account of, how about another little drink?
I don't think you ought to have another one, Wayne.
All right, whatever you say, Emily. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, Emily... I'm very exceedingly glad you feel all right on account of I think you're a very wonderful woman.
You do?
Very wonderful. Not only that, marvelous.
Am I? Do you like me a lot, Wayne Austin? Truly, I mean.
Oh, do I? Emily, I like you so much, I'm going to kiss you, Emily. I'm going to...
Oh. Oh, golly.
Emily. Gosh, Emily, I didn't mean... Gosh, I'm terribly sorry, Emily.
Oh, that's all right, Wayne.
It's not all right. Emily, I beg your pardon. Will you forgive me?
Sure.
It wasn't me, Emily. It was the liquor. And I want you to know, Emily, that I don't think you're that kind of a girl at all. I don't, Emily.
I know you don't, Wayne.
And I wouldn't think of making a pass at you, Emily. Really, I wouldn't. Maybe I'd better go now.
Wayne, now sit down.
But, Emily, you'd better let me. I'm not responsible, I tell you. I don't know what I'll do next.
But I forgive you, darling, in advance.
No, I don't trust myself, Emily. By the way I've been behaving, gosh, I didn't know it was in me. I don't even recognize myself.
Wait, now sit
Emily,
down.
If I stay here another minute, I don't know what would happen. It might be something terrible. And then for the rest of my life, till the day I die, it would be with me, inside me, like a terrible, torturing thing. No, Emily, for your sake, I must go.
No, sit down.
Good night, Emily.
Wayne, don't go.
I must. No decent woman must ever see this side of me. Good night, Emily. I'm going now.
Oh, go ahead. Goodbye, adventurer.
Well, the next day was Thursday, the day they were going to pick Blue Boy as the finest hog bower that ever was raised. Just before the big event, Ma and Wayne and Margie came over to the stock pavilion to see how things were going.
Hello, Pa. How's Blue Boy?
Well, son, I'll tell you. Blue Boy's mad. He's madder than the old Rip about something.
Oh, goodness.
Maybe it's that sow in the next pen that's upsetting him. Now, if he'll just stay mad, there ain't a hog that ever was or ever will be that can touch him. The madder he gets, the prettier he is. Yes, sir, he'll win the sweepstakes, sure. And he understands every word I'm saying. Don't you, beauty boy?
This way, gentlemen. This is the last specimen, I believe.
Here come the judges now.
Good afternoon, Mr. Freight?
Yep, Abel Freight, Brunswick, Iowa.
Yes, of course. And this is your entry, Blue Boy?
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. Pretty fine-looking animal. Yes, sir, there's a lot of pork there. Nice head. Interesting quarters. Let's see what his coat's like. Come here, boy, I want to scratch your back a bit. Amazing. Gentlemen... I call to your attention the spirit of this animal. Hardly ever see one so well developed that's up on his toes that way. Come here, boy. Yes, sir. Great vitality. Well, gentlemen, that about does it. I'm ready to announce my decision now. Ladies and gentlemen, the sweepstakes prize for the best animal in the show to Mr. Abel Frake of Brunswick, Iowa, breeder and owner of Blue Boy.
Papa,
you
finally did it.
Gosh, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Well, Blue Boy, what do you say to all of this?
Well, thank goodness Blue Boy won and that's over. Now, Margie, your father will be fit to live with for the next...
Mama, it's awful close in here with, you know, all those animals. I think I'd like a little air. I guess I'll take a walk outside.
All right, dear, but you'll be back for supper, won't you?
Yes, Mama.
Better make sure that you are. I don't like this idea of your running around loose.
You don't? And who are you, pray?
I'm your brother, that's so, and I got to keep an eye on you. Why, anything can happen to a person at a state fair.
Well, it won't happen to me.
That's right. You're a good, sensible girl, dear. And, Pa, and I know you can take care of yourself.
I can take care of myself, Mama.
Margie, you're late.
Oh, I couldn't help it, Pat.
That's okay, honey. Well, what do we do? Where do we go? The roller coaster?
Well, not just yet. This is the last night, Pat. The last night ever.
That's what you think.
Well, anyhow, you know where I'd like you to take me now?
Any place you say, baby.
Well, I've never seen your papers exhibit at the fair. Papa said they have some kind of a printing machine.
Well, linotype, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I think I'd like to see it.
Well, look, Margie, I'd like to take you over there, but... You see, most of the boys over there know me, and,
And you don't want them to see you with a country girl, is that it?
No, not at all, Margie. I'd rather they saw me with you than anybody else in the world, but on one condition.
What?
That you'll marry me tonight.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, the fact is, Margie, my attitude toward women has never been, exactly platonic, and... All of my friends over there know it, and if they see me with you, they'd assume that my intentions were not entirely honorable.
I see. Whereas, of course, they've always been as pure as my Sunday school teachers.
Now, wait a minute. Margie, try to be masculine about this only for a minute. I've asked you to marry me because I love you. Now, if you say you will, I don't mind introducing you to the boys, but if you won't or if there's any doubt in your mind, well, I just don't want them thinking that about you.
Your life hasn't been very dull, has it, Pat?
No. No, it hasn't. Well, do we go over there now or not?
No, Pat. I don't believe so.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Pat?
Yes, Margie?
Why do you want to marry me?
I guess it's because I love you. That's usually considered a pretty good reason.
Yes, but why do you love me? Tell me, Pat.
All right, I'll try. First, you know the thing that you mentioned yesterday that we're different? Well, we are. But it's a refreshing difference, for me anyway. You're like a clean, sweet breeze from an unexpected direction. Unexpected, that's it. Everything about you is unexpected, Martin. You know, before I met you, if someone had described you to me, I'd have laughed at him. I'd have probably thought, no, that's not for me. I couldn't be interested in that. And unexpectedly, I am. I'm very interested.
But why, Pat?
I think it's just because the way you are, mostly. The simple good things you stand for, your unspoiled looks and the straight line without detours your mind travels on, your honesty and truthfulness, You're alive and you're young. Those are some of the things I love you for, Margie.
Thank you, dear.
And one more thing while we're at it. You know, you're different from anyone that I know. You'd mean a different kind of life for me.
Yes, I've been thinking of that. Pat, dear, do you realize that if you marry me, you'll tie yourself to one place and one woman all your life?
I don't believe I'd want anyone else if I had you, Margie.
But could you be happy that way? No more adventures, no more travel, just slaving away on the Des Moines Register until you were old?
Yes, I think I could. Well, of course, things might happen. You know, they probably would. We might go to New York, or we might go to Paris.
Oh, I'm a farm girl. I don't know any of the things they know in New York, Pat, or Paris. How would I get along there? Well, what would people think of me?
Well, they'd think you were terrific. The men would all make love to you, and the women would hate you.
What would these people talk to me about,
The
Pat?
Same thing that they talk to me about.
Oh, no. No, I don't know anything about architecture or music. And I've never been to a nightclub in my life. Now, back in Brunswick...
All right. You tell me about Brunswick.
Well, I could be useful there, and people would like me. I could run a house, and I'd have children, 4 or 5 maybe. And they'd grow up like me, and live to bring more land into the family.
Margie, are you telling me that you won't marry me?
Yes, Pat.
Why? Is there really someone?
Yes, Pat. Oh, it's hard to tell you, but... Well, there is someone back home.
I see.
He's been in love with me always, all my life.
Margie, this fella back home... Do you love him the way you love me?
Oh, no, Pat. No, not the way I love you. It's different somehow. But I love his kind of life. I'd be somebody back there, and he'd love me forever. You'll get bored with me after a while.
No, Margie, you're wrong. I'd never get bored with you.
Yes, you would, dear. Well, I better be going now, Pat. I have to help Mother pack. We're leaving tomorrow.
Will I see you again?
No.
But, Margie, I...
Pat, I want to tell you something.
All right.
I love you, darling. But you're not entirely real to me. You seem like something I'll wake up from. Do you understand?
So I'm a dream to you, huh?
Not exactly, but... Well, just something that's not really part of life. You're an adventure. Something I half dreamed up and have been wishing for a long time. Now that my wish has come true and I've had you, I've got to go back to reality. Goodbye, Pat.
No, I won't say it.
Say it, Pat, please. For me?
Do I have to?
Yes.
Goodbye, Margie.
Goodbye, darling.
Well, folks, headed home at last. You all right back there, Wayne?
I'm okay, Pop.
If Blue Boy gives you any trouble, give him a kick in the slats.
Why, Abel, after Blue Boy winning the big prize for you...
Well, he's won it, ain't he? Now he'll have to go back to being treated just like any ordinary critter. No more pampering or babying.
Oh, I don't think that's fair somehow.
King for a day. Well, his day's over.
Pipe down, you homely-looking devil.
How far are we from home, Pop?
Only 50, 60 miles.
I hope so.
What's the matter, Margie? Don't you feel well?
I'm all right.
You don't look all right to me. In fact, you look like you was going to bust out crying any minute.
Oh, I'm tired, I tell you. Can't a person be tired without a lot of other people asking a lot of silly questions about whether she's tired or not? I'm just tired, that's all.
Now, what did I do? Margie,
Oh, leave me alone.
Margie, get hold of yourself. You're too old to do things like this.
I'm not doing anything.
Well, listen, what do you suppose is ailing her?
Oh, it's the excitement of the fair and all. Margie, stop crying. It isn't as though this is the last state fair you were ever going to.
Yes, it is. I never want to go to another one again.
Oh,
never.
Margie.
Shut up. I want to go to sleep.
I think I'd like to take a little nap, too. Mama, do you mind if I put my head on your shoulder?
No, dear. Go right ahead.
Good night, Ma.
Good night, dear.
Good night, Pa.
Good night.
Good night, Margie.
Good night, all.
Good night, son.
Good night, dear.
Know something, Abel? I'm a bit tuckered out myself.
Me too, Ma. Shut up, you. You're not the big stuff around here anymore. Now go to sleep like the rest of the family.
Shut up. In another year, you'll be nothing but bacon.
Oh, no, he won't. In another year, he'll be the papa of a lot of little blue boys.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of State Fair, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. We express our thanks to our stars, Van Heflin as Pat, Gene Lockhart as Abel Frake, Kathleen Lockhart as Mrs. Frake, and June Lockhart as Margie. Our thanks also to our featured players, Dick Van Patten as Wayne, and Rosemary Rice as Emily, and to the other members of our cast whom you heard in these roles, as the Hoop Man, Roger Pryor, as the Hog Judge, John Gibson, as the Pickle Jug, Judge Ed Jerome, as the Hawker, Michael Dreyfuss, and as Blue Boy, Brad Barker. And here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
Next week, the Theater Guild on the Air will initiate another year of outstanding broadcasts with the first radio presentation of the brilliant motion picture success, The Third Man. Our stars will be Joseph Cotten, who will recreate the unforgettable role that he played in the screen production, and Sidney Hasso. With them, we shall bring you a superb cast of Broadway players. And now here again is George Hicks with a message from the American Heritage Foundation.
In just a few hours, the first half of the 20th century will be over. As 1950 slips into the past, Americans are engaged in a worldwide struggle of ideas, devotion to individual liberty versus adherence to the all-powerful state. The eyes of people all over the world are on us. They want to know whether free government and free enterprise are vigorous enough to cope with the tremendous issues and challenges of our time. It's up to us to prove that freedom works. That means it's up to people like you and me. Let's resolve to lead daily lives that prove that we believe in our heritage of freedom, a heritage for which our fathers and their fathers before them lived, fought, and died. For freedom is everybody's job.
Remember, next week on the United States Steel Hour, The Third Man, starring Joseph Cotten and Sidney Hasso. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theater Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langner and Teresa Halpern, with Armina Marshall, executive producer. S. Mark Smith is editor. Music was composed and conducted by Hara Levy. Van Heflin will soon be seen in the Universal International Technicolor production, Tomahawk. Gene and Kathleen Lockhart will next be seen in the 20th Century Fox picture, I'd Climb the Highest Mountain. Your announcer is Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time.
Coming up, Tales of the Texas Rangers on NBC.